All right. Well, it's good. It's really, really good to get to be with you guys this morning. I'm looking forward to sharing what I've got for you this morning. This week has been really a fun week for me in terms of preparing for my message today, and it's something that's really resonates in my heart, and I believe it's going to resonate in yours as well. So would you bow your heads with me? Let's begin with a word of prayer and ask for God to move in a great way in our lives this morning. Father God, we come before you. We thank you again for your amazing love, your faithfulness, God. We thank you for your presence, God. You are here with us, Lord. And so, God, I just ask now that you will help us to prepare our hearts for what you are wanting to say to us this morning. I pray, God, that we would have a true, a powerful, a vital encounter with you in a very, very real way today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, there's a man by the name of Morris Siegel, and he was actually a street person in Los Angeles, and he lived like most street people do. He just kind of wandered around the city, back alleys, and sleeping outside, and he had everything that he owned, like in an old shopping cart that he pushed around, one day he was found in an alley, dead, and he had died of natural causes, probably a heart issue. The interesting thing about Morris Siegel was that the day that he died, he had over $200,000 in a bank account. Evidently, his father had died and left him a bunch of money about 10 years before. When Morris didn't claim the money, the division of unclaimed property tracked him down. And with the help of his family members, they were able to force him to take this money to open a bank account and put it in the bank. But all he did was take a little bit out of it, just enough to buy like an old car. And all he used the car for was to sleep in it whenever the weather was really, really bad. His relatives rented him an apartment, but he never went to it. The day that he died, he had $3 in his pocket, and yet he had a bank account with over 200 grand. Am I the only one that feels frustration when I hear stories like this? Is it just me? I mean, of course it's sad for those of you with the mercy gift. Well, it was really sad. Yes, yes, it's sad. It's a sad story. But there's still like this frustration thing in me when I hear stuff like that. I'm just like, couldn't someone reach this guy? Why? I'm always left with the why question. Why? Why was it that way? Why did he do that? Why did he choose that? But then I think, what about the frustration that we feel when we make those crazy, bad decisions? And we're left with the why question about ourselves. Why? Why did I do that? Why? What was I thinking? Why? And, you know, I mean, there's the whole thing of everybody gets to choose. But we're always left with that why question, whether it's someone else's bad decisions or whether it's our own bad decisions. And sometimes those bad decisions follow us around for the rest of our lives. The rest of our lives, we're left with why? Why did I do that? Why did that happen? Why did I choose that? Some of the why decisions last into eternity. Today we're going to continue the series that we've been in entitled Under Construction, and where we're taking a look at how all of us are a work in progress. We're all under construction, if you will. And both today and next Sunday, I want to take a look at the why question. I want to take a look at why we do some of the things that we do. And the construction project that God takes on in us in order to correct some of the things that we do. So you don't want to miss next Sunday, because it's going to build on what I'm going to share with you this morning. You don't want to miss it. In order for us to start, we have to begin with the question of what a kingdom is. What a kingdom is. Every one of you has a kingdom. Or if you're a lady and you prefer, a queendom. Equal opportunity here. Every single one of you has a kingdom. This may be news for you. You may automatically just be going like, hey, I feel better about myself already. You all have a kingdom. And another way to think of it is that each one of you has a government, a realm that is uniquely your own. Every single one of you has a kingdom, a realm that's yours. It's where your realm is where your choice determines what happens. Pretty cool, huh? Yeah, I was thinking about, again, our men's study, the night to the 21st century, and we're kind of in that night mode, and the idea of like having your own family crest. You know, like you have your own castle, your own realm where you're the king or you're the queen, and you've got a flag, a standard that is uniquely your own. But your kingdom is where your choice determines what happens. And the interesting thing is that we were all created that way. We were created to have a realm all our own. In Genesis chapter 1, if you have your Bible, you can go with me there to Genesis chapter 1, beginning of verse 26. I want you to see this. It says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that, that's really important right there, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Notice the order in verse 26. Let us make mankind in our image and our likeness, so that, in order that, they may rule. We were made to rule or have dominion in a limited way. Notice he doesn't say, he defines what our rule would be over. He doesn't say, so that we would rule the world, the universe, God himself, other people. You caught that, right?
Yeah.
Say amen or oh no. We were made to rule or have dominion over a limited sphere in a limited way. And the reason why we were made to do that, or how that was possible,
was because we were made in the image and likeness of God. We are creative because God is creative. We have the ability to rule, to reign, to be over things, to have a say over things because God rules and reigns and has a say over things. We were created in the image of God so that we might rule and reign and have dominion in a limited way. This is what makes you unique from everything else in creation. You are not like the animals. You are unique from everything that exists because you were made in the image and likeness of God. You are special, and you were made to have dominion. The image of God is at the core of who we are. As Dallas Willard puts it, he says, we are, all of us, never ceasing spiritual beings with a unique eternal calling to count for good in God's great universe. You should write that down. That should be on your mirror, your bathroom mirror, that you see every morning. You can take a picture of it. You can use your phone and take a picture of it. We are, all of us, never ceasing spiritual beings with a unique eternal calling to count for good in God's great universe. So another way to understand our kingdom is to think of it as the range of our effective will. The range of our effective will. Whatever you really have the say over is in your kingdom. This is important because all of us, the range of our effective will is different for every one of us in this room. Some of us, the range of our effective will, or what we really have to say over, is over a small amount of things. Others, it's bigger. It depends on your family situation. It depends on your influence. It depends on your job. But whatever you really actually truly have the say over is in your kingdom. The lion was he was really proud of his reputation as the ruler over the animal kingdom, and he decided one day he was going to make sure that all the other animals knew that he was the king of the jungle. And so he was so confident he decided he would bypass all the smaller animals, not even waste his time. So he went straight to the bear, and he goes to the bear and he says, who's the king of the jungle? And the bear says, of course, you are. And the lion gave a mighty roar of approval. He goes to the tiger. He says, so who's the king of the jungle? And the tiger says, well, everyone knows that you, O mighty king, are the king of the jungle. Another roar of approval. Next on the list was the elephant. Who is the king of the jungle? The elephant grabs him with his trunk, throws him in the air, twirls him around five or six times, slams him into a tree, bounces him off the ground three or four times, dunks him underwater in the lake, throws him out of the lake, throws him up on the shore. The lion's beaten, battered, bruised, struggles to his feet, and he says, look, just because you don't know the answer is no reason to get upset. Because whatever you really have to say over is in your kingdom. Here's something interesting, though. Because you actually have the say over some things, actually is what makes you human. If you didn't have the say over anything, you wouldn't be human. Because if you didn't have the say over at least your thoughts and your actions, your realm may only be that. But it's still your realm. It's still your kingdom. If you didn't have control of your thoughts and your actions, you would not be human. This is your thoughts and your actions is where your kingdom starts. It may go way beyond that, but that's at least where it starts. As a human being, you have control. You have the say over your thoughts and your actions. Or do we? I often hear people blame their actions and thoughts and issues on other people. It's very popular today, by the way. In fact, I often hear people justify their actions by telling me that what they did was because of what someone else did. Ever heard that? Ever said that? Well, I mean, if it wasn't for so-and-so, if they hadn't have done that, then I wouldn't have done that. I was thinking about the movie War Room, where the man in the movie works for a pharmaceutical company, and he's taking drugs from the company to resell them on his own or whatever. And how that kind of thing happens all the time with people. They're just like, well, you know, the company I work for, they rip people off. They overprice their products or whatever. And so I just take a little bit of stuff myself. You know, they're not gonna notice it. It's no big deal. You know, I'm just doing what's right for me and blah, blah, blah. If it wasn't for them, then I wouldn't be stealing. Really? I steal because they steal. I cheat because he cheated. The blame shift. When you're unwilling to accept responsibility for your actions, then you have to blame someone else. It's a tactic in the courtroom. My client can't be guilty. It's not my client's fault. It's his mom's fault, his dad's fault, his brother, his sister, his aunt, his whatever. The blame shift. But think about this. Blame shifting is a denial that you're human. Because if you don't have the say over your thoughts and your actions, you're not human. It's impossible. It's impossible to not have the say over what you think, what you say, and what you do. In Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it's a very popular verse. But I want you guys to see this. Paul says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. Now, when you read this verse, the context of this verse, it's easy for us to see, and maybe you never thought about this before, it tells us that we can determine exactly what we think about. It tells us that we can determine exactly what we think about. This verse assumes that you understand that your thinking is within your realm. It's not an accident. You don't stumble upon thinking whatever is pure, whatever is excellent, whatever is lovely. It's you have the power. You have the control. It's your mind. You determine what you think about. So determine to think about these things instead of what you've been thinking about. You see that? The assumption. Paul's making an assumption. He's not going, you know, maybe I've been thinking about this. Maybe this is true. I'm not sure for you. He's assuming that you understand that your mind is within your realm, your control. You have the say, literally, over everything you think about. Think about that for the rest of the day. Whenever something comes in your mind that you don't really want to think about, you don't have to just give in to that. Oh, I'm just powerless against my own brain. You just say, no, I'm not thinking about that. I'm in control of this. This is my mind. I determine what I think about. Go to verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. It's the same thing. This verse tells us that we can determine exactly what actions we take with our lives. It assumes that you understand that you have the say over what you do. You have the say. It's within your realm. It's within your kingdom. And the Bible is filled with these assumptions. The Bible assumes that you know this, that you understand this, that you know that you have a kingdom. You know that you have a realm. You know that you have a place where you determine what happens, beginning with your thoughts and beginning with your actions. That's what makes you unique from everything else in creation. It's really, really amazing. In fact, in the secular realm, they now realize that this inherent thing of needing to be able to have the say over something, to be in control of at least something, is linked to mental health and even physical health. You can't be human if you don't understand that you have the say over something, some degree of control over something. It's how we were made, and it's important. Now, understanding this is really, really important when you think about the history of the world and the way that people act and interact. The reason why we do things the way we do them. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Are you guys with me so far?
Yeah.
It's kind of quiet. It's like, oh, man. I guess that was my fault. I shouldn't have done that. I can't blame that on so-and-so anymore. I know. I spent the whole week in that same place, so trust me, I understand. Genesis chapter 1, we go back to starting at verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image and our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. This passage that we just read is the human job description. Or, if you want to be more theological, the creation covenant. The creation covenant between God and mankind. He creates man, and he immediately gives him a job description. This is your job description. This is what you are to do. God assigns all of mankind, all of us, the job to rule over all the living things on the earth, animal and plant. We're responsible before God for life on earth. But here's the catch. We are meant to exercise our rule only in union with God. It wasn't a, hey, you guys take care of this, I'll be back in a million years. I got other planets to work on. I'm busy. I'm really, really busy. I'm late already, as a matter of fact. So you guys just take care of that, I'll be back. But that's how we live as humans. He's gone, so hey, we might as well just do whatever we want to do here until he gets back. Oh, he may be back pretty soon. We better straighten up, you know. We are meant to exercise our rule only in union with God as he acts with us. That was God's intention all along, that he would be our constant companion as we rule with him. God's idea was we would do everything together. You know how when you first date someone and you first fall in love, you do everything together. Everywhere you go, it's like, hey, what are you doing now? Let's just be together. Everything together. That was God's intention for us. Because he fell in love with his creation right away. Let's do everything together. Let's rule the animals together. Let's name the fish. Let's do it. Let's walk together. Let's hang out together. Let's do everything together. But we know that our ancestors, they blew it. They fell away from this intended plan that God had, that we would do everything together. It started with mistrust. Their mistrust for God caused them to distance themselves from God. Just like our mistrust causes us to distance ourselves from each other. That's always where it starts. The pulling back. Where's so-and-so? I haven't seen him in a long time. Always starts with mistrust. And so, because of what our ancestors did, there's still mistrust. There's still distancing from God and distancing from one another. All you have to do is study history. Really, all you have to do is turn on the 6 o'clock news. And it's right there. But the interesting thing, the amazing thing, is in spite of all the stuff that's going on in the world around us and all the conflicts and all the distancing from God and distancing from each other, the fundamental makeup of who we are, who we were created to be, hasn't changed. We still were made to rule. We still have within us the software, if you will, where we are built to have dominion over something. But now there's a glitch in the software. Now it's this thing of ruling over people. We want to rule over each other. That wasn't part of the job description, but that's what we spend our energy wanting to dominate other people, or we spend all of our energy trying to avoid being dominated by people. It's one or the other. I mean, when you really break it down, every conflict between people, I want you to just take a moment and think in your head. Don't say it out loud. Who you have a conflict with right now. Everybody got a name, got a face in your head there. Again, don't say it out loud, especially if they're sitting next to you. Don't say it out loud. This is just in your head. I love this job. This is great. Every conflict between people is always connected with the clash between kingdoms. My kingdom versus your kingdom. Am I the ruler? Or am I getting ruled? Right? That's what it is. It all goes back to the creation covenant, the human job descriptions. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to think. You know, who are you? You're not the boss over me. Right? Sometimes the need to have a say over something will go so far to living on the street. No job, no boss, nobody telling me what to do, no landlord, no rules, no home association stuff. I'm in control of my life. On the street. I'm a king, baby. Wow. But isn't that what it is? I'm in control. Nobody tells me what to do to the extreme. So how do we get back to God's original intent for us? How do we get back to the creation covenant? How do we get back to that place with God where it's everything together? You know, you and I, on our own, there's certain things that we can do, but there's so much more that we can do with the power of God working in, with, and through us. That was God's intention. Not that just you struggling on your own, but that God Himself would be with you, working alongside, working in and through you to accomplish things that you would never imagine possible. How do we get back to that? Because that was God's intention all along, that He would be our constant companion in this creative enterprise of life on the earth. As Dallas Willard said, we are, all of us, never ceasing spiritual beings with a unique eternal calling to count for good in God's great universe. How do we get back? That's for next week. Would you guys bow your heads? Lord God, we just want to give you this time, and we ask that you would seal your word in our hearts. This is also the time for us to respond to you with whatever it is that you've spoken to us. And so with every head bowed, I want to ask you this morning, first of all, have you made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life? Is Jesus the way, the truth, and the life for you? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your eternal security, that you are secure in your relationship with Jesus based on His standard? Is Jesus Lord? Is He in control? Is His kingdom over yours? I want to give you an opportunity today. If you've not made Jesus Lord of your life, you can make that decision this morning.
Or perhaps maybe this is a time for you to return. Maybe there was a day that you, a day in your life where you followed Jesus, but maybe things have happened in your life and you've drifted away. But you know that God's calling you back. So whether it's your first time or whether it's a time of rededicating, coming back to Him, if that's you, if that's your desire, would you just lift your hand right now? I just want to lead you in a simple prayer, getting you back in relationship with God. Hallelujah. Next, I want to ask you guys a couple of questions. With every head bowed still, this is the time for us to really think about things that we've heard today and what the Holy Spirit may be speaking to us. First, I want to ask you, what is in your kingdom? What do you have the say over? And are you ruling well within the kingdom that God has given you? And then next, I want to ask, have you taken responsibility for your thoughts, for your actions? Has there been blame shifting? Has God brought conviction on your heart in either of these areas? But if you sense that God has brought conviction on your heart or challenge or just revealed something that he's calling you to make an adjustment, whatever that might be, if that's you, and this is truly between you and the Lord, but if that's you, would you just lift your hand right now? And I just want to give you a time just between you and God to communicate whatever it is that he's wanting you to communicate to him. And then I want to pray for you guys. Thank you. Amen. 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 Father God, I just want to lift up all those that have raised their hands. And God, you know what's going on in each heart. And so, Father, I just pray that your grace would be extended towards them. Lord, that you will just give them even more clarity to recognize and understand the power that they have as far as their own thoughts, their own actions, their kingdom that you've blessed them with. Lord, help each one of us rule in a way that is pleasing and honoring to you. God, speak to us throughout this week. Prepare us for what you're wanting to say to us next week. And we thank you and praise you. We give you all the honor and all the glory, God. We are so grateful for the way that you created us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Can we give God praise one time?